is KAYT, Gina Alexandria. The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Hello, and welcome to the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast, where Reverend Roger L. Green, Sr. is the pastor. This broadcast is designed to be a blessing and life changer for you and your family. Listen now as Reverend Green takes you through the Word of God.
Amen. To the triune Godhead, Ms. Green in her absence, ministers' wives that are present, to these preachers that are with me, to these deacons and deaconess, to these ministers of music, amen. To this choir, thank God for Brother Ron Washington. Amen. Our only Nicholas is on vacation, and we are, he's always there for us. And so I want to publicly say, Ron, thank you so much. Thank you. Let me say this. On July the 16th of 2019 at 7 p.m., it'll be our 67th annual banquet and cotillion for the United Education Missionary Baptist Association. Tickets for that banquet will be $35 and $350 for a table. See Sister Sapp if you're interested in attending this. We have a great time every year. Sister Sapp, raise your hand in case they don't know who you are. See her after church. Amen. Let us turn to the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. And if you can't find Genesis, you need to make the Sunday school as quick as possible. Amen. The book of Genesis. Genesis means beginning, where all of this got started. Book of Genesis, chapter 9. Chapter 9, commencing at verse 12. The word says, "And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you, and every living creature that is with you, for the perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and shall be a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth." I want to talk about a promise after the storm. Amen. A promise after the storm. Thank you, Ursus. Many of us would like a promise before the storm, because we would like to hear God tell us that we are not going through a storm. But I come by to tell you that just as God gives us promises before and during, he also gives us promises after. We're not too crazy about the after promises, because to receive the after promises is an indication we've got to go through the storm. But that's one good thing I love about God, that he can handle me before during, and after. God is that type of God. He is everywhere at the same time. He doesn't have to leave where he is to get where he's going. He's already where he needs to be before he moves from where he is. God is always there. The text that is set before us, man had gotten so terrible that God repented that he had made man. Originally, the Greek word, when you hear God repented, it was more of a form of regret. To say, therefore, God repented, it means that he was grieved. His heart was broken because of man's conduct did not meet divine standard. But 2 Peter 2 and 5 says, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Noah preached the word to wavering people, but they ignored the word. For 120 years, Noah preached, it's going to rain without a cloud in the sky. For 120 years, Noah preached, it's going to rain when the sun was shining upon the earth. They were mocking him. They were laughing at him. And while he was preaching, he was building an ark. He was getting himself ready for the sermon he was preaching. And where we fall short at, we want to deliver a word, but we ain't getting ourselves ready. How can you give a word when you haven't gotten yourself together yet? You have to get yourself good with God and God good with you. Noah preached it's going to rain, and he built an ark while he was preaching. For 120 years, he preached it's going to rain. Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. God takes an evaluation of his creation. And in that evaluation, God concluded, man became so consumed with wickedness, he says, I've got to stop them. And not only do I have to stop them from what they're doing, I've got to stop them for what they're thinking. Y'all want to get what I'm saying? Aren't you glad this morning that God stopped you before you were able to carry out what you were thinking? We should be praising God this morning that he didn't allow us to carry out the things we were thinking. Now, see, that don't apply to everyone, because some of you have been saved so long that you can't even spell sin. I want to talk to those who, after you've met Christ and still had some thoughts you know you shouldn't have had, but yet God, for some reason, interceded and you weren't able to carry out what you were thinking. And then you realize long down the road, if you would have carried out what you were thinking, you may have been locked up in jail right now wishing for liberty. I wish I can have somebody to testify that he put a roadblock that I couldn't carry out what I was thinking. God said their imaginations was even wicked. But in Genesis 6 and 8, the Bible says God found grace in Noah. Now, that doesn't mean that Noah was perfect. But out of all the earth, Noah was the closest to God. And so he found grace in Noah. Now you would discover now that this is the first time grace is ever mentioned in the Bible. Whew. Let me share something with you. One of the most important scientists in biblical study is the study known as hermeneutics. Now, hermeneutics is the science of biblical interpretation. Within hermeneutics, there are many principles, but one of the principles in hermeneutics is the principle of first mention. That means when something is first mentioned, it determines the usage of the word throughout the Bible. So here, if I apply the principle of first mention to grace, it determines how grace is used throughout the Bible. Can we dissect the text? God didn't mention grace until sin was committed. Y'all don't get what I'm saying. God didn't mention grace until he couldn't put up with sin anymore. Aren't you glad that the principle of first mention is applied to grace? All the hell you've been causing in God's presence, all the wrong you've been doing in the eyesight of God, but when you get through, God said, I got grace. He says, I got grace. And all of God's displeasure, he still extended grace. You're not going to shout on this one. How many of us can raise our hand and say, I'm under the grace of God? Well, some of y'all made it on your own. How many can say that I'm under the grace? Now, you might not shout now. Grace is not for the good. Grace is for the guilty. So if I say I'm under God's grace, then I'm guilty of something. God sends the flood. 40 days and 40 nights. Noah and his family and every living creature, male and female, was in the ark safe. But Genesis chapter 8, verse 1 says God remembered Noah. Now, remember, when it says God remember, that's an anthropomorphic term. What anthropomorphic means is that we give God human characteristics when he doesn't have human characteristics. Anthropomorphism means that when I say the hand of God, it is not talking about a hand. It is talking about God's power. And so when he says God, remember. Now, Reverend Slaughter, God is omniscient. He knows everything. So God can't remember because God have never forgotten. God never recalls anything because God never loses anything. In other words, when the Bible says God remembered Noah, here's your praise cue. God scheduled for Noah to survive even before the flood started. He put deliverance in effect before the dilemma took place. Oh, y'all ain't getting what I'm saying. You may not avoid the weather. You might not avoid the storm. But I'm so glad God remembered me. That means he put my deliverance in place before the clouds got dark. How many can trust God in the sunshine? But can you still trust God when the rain is falling? Can you say, well, I'm going through this hell, I'm still going to give you praise because I know before the storm came in effect, you had already set my deliverance day. I'm a survivor. Before I go through anything, I need to survive. He remembered Noah. Watch this. Here's your praise. Genesis 8:4. When the flood was over and the water receded, the Bible says that the ark rested on the mountains of Ararat. Watch this. When the water receded, the ark rested on the mountains of Ararat. Brother Sam, pray. When Noah built the ark, he was in the valley. But after the flood, he rested on the mountain. Y'all get what I'm saying? When he first started building the ark, he was in a valley. But after the flood, he was on a mountain. Now, you want God to bring you higher. Sometimes you got to go through the storm. And the only thing the storm is going to do is lift you to where God wants you to be. And even while the storm was going on, he protected Noah. Is there anybody that can testify and say, God allowed me to go through a storm, but while I was in it, he protected me. And when I came out of it, I was higher than when I was when I first went in. Watch this. Noah was on the mountains of Mount Ararat. God promoted him and not even promised him nothing yet. Before the promise, God promoted, and he used a storm to promote him. And after he promoted him, then God made him a promise. That's why you need to wait on God. Because when God gives you something, then God gives you a promise behind what he gave you. If you've been praying for that job and you've been waiting on the Lord, and when the Lord gives you that promotion, then God will give you a promise. You're going to stay there until I call you home. I don't care who tried to set traps for you. I don't care who tried to get you out of there. I put you in there, and nobody will take you out of there. He never even made a covenant with Noah yet, but he promoted Noah. Now watch this. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 20, the Bible says that Noah, in his own way, at an altar, began to worship. Y'all missed it. Flood had destroyed everything. Noah don't have a job. He don't have a house. He don't have transportation. But he worshiped God anyway. Some of us need these things to worship God. But I don't need these things to worship God. Because when you're sick, a house can't hear you. When you're broke, car can't put money in your pocket. You need somebody who can shield you without a roof. You need somebody who can transport you without putting gas in the car. And his name is God Jehovah. Noah said, you brought me through this thing. I'll worry about a house later. I'll worry about a job later. I just want to give you praise for what you're doing for me right now. Is there anybody can give God a right now praise? Don't worry about what you have and don't have. Don't worry about what you got to face next week. God, while I'm in the sanctuary, I'm going to give it to you now. Now, watch this before we get to the rainbow. Watch this. in verse 20, Noah worships. Chapter 8, verse 21, God receives the worship and he makes Noah a promise. He tells Noah in verse 21, he said, the reason I won't destroy the earth is the same reason I destroyed the earth. Well, y'all are missing it. The reason I won't destroy the earth is the same reason I destroyed the earth. Because if you look at Genesis chapter 8, verse 21, then Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 tells the reason why God destroyed the earth. Because the things they had in their mind and the wickedness that they had before us. But then in Genesis chapter 8, verse 21, God said, I won't destroy the earth for the wickedness and all these things they had before. Wait a minute, God, I'm confused. If you destroy them before this reason, why are you saving them for this reason? God said, oh, you missed it. See, before I destroyed the earth, grace wasn't in play. But this time, grace is in play. And Noah, I'm starting this generation from you. Oh, y'all get what I'm saying. Watch this. The first time, grace was given to one, and death came to all. The second time, death comes to one, and grace is given to all. The first time, grace was given to Noah, and everybody else died. The second time, Jesus will die, and everybody else will live. Come on, that's enough to praise God for, right? If I don't even go any further, I think that's enough to praise God. Don't you know you should be dead? You should be on your way to hell, but since he died on the cross, he tells Noah, he said, I know you're going to need to see something. So I'm going to put a bow in the sky. And Noah, I know every time it rains from here on out, you're going to think the same thing is coming on you. But I'm going to put a bow in the sky, let you know that this is not happening again. Now, the rainbow is God's promise. But the rainbow is also a picture of his son Jesus. Let's look at the colors of the rainbow. Purple is a sign of royalty. And Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Blue is a sign of the heavens. And Jesus, when he got up from the grave, he sits on the right hand of the Father, making intercessions for you and me. Green is the sign of new life beginning. And Jesus says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but. Yellow is a sign of brightness and light. Jesus says that I am the light. Orange is a sign of warning and repent. We who repent, he is willing and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, y'all know what red is. Red is a sign of the blood. And that's the only way I'm going to get to God is under the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, can I go further? Y'all ready? Indigo means word and peace. And Jesus is the Prince of Peace. I tell you, ain't nothing like a peace of mind to lay down at night with a peace of mind, to get up in the morning with a peace of mind. I'm under the rainbow. It's a sign of my Savior. Now, watch this. Satan has perverted the rainbow. He got you Christians believing there's a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Since he knows Satan will pervert it, you will never find the end of the rainbow.
See, I don't need to find the beginning and the end. I just want to see it. Now, watch this. Two things are necessary for a rainbow to develop. Number one, there must be a disturbance. There must be a storm in the elements. And the rainbow, the promise, comes after the storm. From Malachi to Matthew, there was a storm because there was no word from heaven for 400 years. But God, here y'all, here's your blessing. Man as still was doing just as much sin as he was doing when God destroyed them the first time. But God said, I made Noah a promise that I can't destroy them this time. So from Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, to Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, God didn't speak to man for 400 years. Because for 400 years, God said, I've got to make this thing work. Yeah, I want to get rid of them, but I made my child a promise that I wouldn't do it. See, sin deserves punishment. Somebody has to die. Blood has to be shed. Then here comes Jesus. Under the foundation of heaven, said, Father, prepare me a body. Just give me 33 years. I'll go down and shed my own blood that you don't have to break your promise. Let all of your anger come on me at the cross. Woo. There must be a disturbance. Then if there's a disturbance, here's your praise cue. What comes after disturbance is deliverance. The disturbance was Calvary, but the deliverance was the resurrection. Calvary made people cry, but the resurrection made people laugh. Calvary made some hide, but the resurrection made some people come forth.